You have in front of you is on Yudches Amud Beis in Masechta Brachos. I'm going to begin on the last few lines of Yudches Amud Aleph, so my apologies, you'll be missing a little bit. I'm just going to sort of highlight certain things. The Gemara wants to know whether or not the Mesim are aware of what goes on in this world. And this is going to be a big controversy in the Gemara, with pretty much no definite conclusion. And the Gemara starts by telling us about Rab Chia and Rab Yonasan, who together took a trip to the cemetery. Apparently, according to the Mefarshim, they wanted to be Mishtatech al Kivrei HaTzadikim. And the tzitzis of Rab Yonasan were dragging on the top of the grave stones. So Rab Chia turns to Rab Yonasan and he tells him to lift up his tzitzis from the kvarim because the mason themselves are going to declare tomorrow they're going to join us, and now they're making fun of us that we can't wear tzitzis and we can't be mekayim the mitzvahs. So to this, Rabbi Yonasan responds to Rabbi Chia, and he says, "Umi yadei kuli ay." Do the mason really know? Are they aware of the fact that the tzitzis are dragging on top of the kvarim? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say in the ninth parak of Koheles, "Ki hachayim yodim shiyamusu"? The live know that they will die. Vamesim einam yodim miuma. Shlomo HaMelech declares that the dead don't know anything. Amalei Rab Chia says to Rab Yonasan, "Im karisa lo shanisim, shanisa lo shilashta," etc., etc. You didn't read the pasuk carefully. You didn't really understand the pasuk. You aren't yored laomek hapshat. When it says ki achayim yodim sheyamusu, it's a reference to the tzaddikim shebimisosam nikroim chayim, and they're aware of their death. However, as far as the rest of the pasuk, v'amesim lo enam yodim ma'uma, and this you could see about 10 lines down from the top of your page, in Ches Amud Beis, it says, v'amesim enam yodim ma'uma, elu harashoyim shebchayim kuryim mesim. The reference here is not to literally the dead, but rather to Rishoyim who are called dead. And even though they're well alive, Einam Yodim Ma'uma means they don't want to recognize the fact that they're going to die. Meaning their philosophy of life is eat, drink, and be merry, you know, because who cares about the day of our death? Let's just think about today and not about tomorrow. And at this particular point, the Gemara is of the opinion that Enochinami, the Mesim, are aware of what's going on in this world. Then the Gemara starts B'nei Rabbi Chia, which you'll see is underlined in the first of the wide lines on Yudches Amud Beis. And the Gemara tells us about the children of Rabbi Chia who went out to the smaller villages, and they took care of the fields in those areas. And Iakarle Talmudei, they got so involved in farming and agriculture that they forgot their learning. And they were very upset about it. So one of the sons of Rab Chia turns to his brother and he says, "Yada avun b'hai tzara," Rab Chia had already died. "Is he aware of the suffering that we're enduring because the anguish that we forgot our Torah study?" So the other brother turns to him and he says, "Mina yada, how could it be possible that Rab Chia knows about it?" Vaksiv, the pasuk says in Eov, "Yichbedu bana v'lo yeda," even if his children are very heavy, meaning they're suffering from some weight, nevertheless, he, the father, is unaware of it because he's already dead. So the other brother turns back to him And he says, is this really true that the dead, our father's not aware of it? What about the pasuk that comes right after that in Eov? And it says, Ach besoro olav yichav v'nafsho olav tabal. That even if his basar, the flesh of the dead, is somehow koev, it's suffering. Now you would think that with death, the soul departs from the body. Why should there be any awareness of suffering in the body, of suffering of the basar? And yet, Omer Rav Yitzchak, kosher rima lemes kemachat bibsar chai, that just like if you were to prick yourself with a pin, you would certainly suffer from that. So too, when the body is the corpse is attacked by these rima, these tolas, and it eats up the basar, it's painful. Amri, the Gemara says, that's not a proof. Bitsara didhu yadi, bitsara dachrini lo yadi. The mess could suffer its own pain, but it's not aware of anyone else's pain. So don't think that Rabbi Chiya, our father, is aware of our pain. Vilo. So again, as you can see, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth, proofs this way, psukim here, and shlugups here, until finally we get to a story that we're going to start now. This is the main, piece of Gemara, of Haggadah, that we want to study today. And everything that we want to talk about today, because although the Issur of Lashon Hara is in Parashas Kedoshim, Lo Selech Rachel Vamecha, but the Issur of Motzi Shemra, which complements it perfects or completes the Issur of Lashon Hara, is written in Parashas Ki Teitze. And the question that I want to raise with you is there an Issur of Motzi Shemra if a person slanders the dead? And the first issue that we want to discuss here is whether the dead is aware of what's, the slander against him. And it all depends upon how to interpret this next story. And the Gemara tells a story about Maisa B'chassid Echad, which according to the Marsha is a reference to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, one of the Asar Haruge Malchus. So we're talking about a high-powered Tana here. Shenasan Dinar Li'oni Be'er of Rosh Hashanah B'shnei Batzores. He was very magnanimous. It was a drought year. They needed every dime they could gather together in order to buy food and provisions. But nevertheless, his heart went out in compassion for a poor person, and he gave him a significant amount of tzedakah. V'knisasa v'hiknitato ishto. And his wife, sure enough, got very angry at him. You shouldn't have given such a significant sum in a drought year when we need every dime. V'holach, and this chassid left the house. Again, why he couldn't sleep on the couch, I don't know, but he left the house. V'lon v'beis hakvaros, and he went to sleep in a cemetery. The only thing I can tell you about this is that the Kosev, which is one of the classical commentaries in the Ein Yaakov, he doesn't understand what's going on here. We don't sleep in cemeteries, certainly not a chassid, and we'll soon see that this was right before Rosh Hashanah. The night of Rosh Hashanah is not a good day to sleep in a cemetery. And not only that, there's an Isur being Doresh al Amesim, and we'll see that Lechora, this chassid, violates it. He says that the whole story is just a vision, it's just a dream, it never really happened. David?
He wasn't really Dar Shal Mason. In other words, he didn't go there with the intent of finding what they're talking about. He hadn't overheard them the first year.
Right.
The second time he'd be Dar Shal Mason.
Right, but
even that's not so clear.
But it's interesting, why did he go to a cemetery? I'll just read to you the language of the Kosev. He writes, Yesh Lahakshos. Ketzad timei achosid es atzmo b'leil Rosh Hashanah b'mokom in place of sheyatayr atzmo b'yom zeshu yom adin. And then he goes on to say that just 1 second. V'ulai, maybe the reason why he went to a cemetery is he's trying to hide the fact that he had this Ktata with his wife. He didn't want the word to get out. Then he comes to the conclusion that the whole Maisa was Bechalom. Whole discussion whether it's Mutter, Lolo, and Beis HaKfaris. Ha'im Ein Iser Kan Mishum Dori Shalom Maisa. So again, there's a long discussion about this. It's not for us now. But you should be aware of the fact that it's not clear whether this story actually happened as first impression when you read it, but it could be it's all a dream. Anyway, Halach v'lon v'beis hakfaros v'shomash te ruchos shemesapros zu lezu. Now the story here unfolds about two young girls that died prematurely. One of them was very poor, and she was buried in what's called the Machzela Shel Kanim, which means a little basket made of reeds. They didn't even have tachrichim to bury her. She couldn't afford it. The family couldn't afford it. And the ruchos, the spirits, are hovering over these, over the graves, and they're communicating one with the other. And he, the chassid, is overhearing their communication. One says to the other, "My friend, come join me, and we are going to roam to the upper spheres, me'achorei apargot, behind the mechitza." There's a barrier that separates between the Shechina and the celestial powers, the Tzvamarom. We're going to go beyond, we're going to penetrate and go all the way towards the Shechina. And what are we going to find out? Because it's Rosh Hashanah. What we're going to find out is Ma Puranios Bali Olam. What mishaps are going to happen, are going to befall the world in the year to come? So the poor girl says, "I can't go with you because I'm buried in this way." And here again, there's a long discussion about why she wouldn't join here. Why was she so embarrassed about the physical state? I mean, isn't she already in a state of a neshama? And apparently, for a certain period of time, the neshama and the guf are still connected one to the other, and therefore it would be clear during this period of time, which apparently was not long after her passing, that she was buried in a machzeles shel kanim in this poor sort of way. And therefore she didn't join her, but she says, "You go without me, and please, when you hear what's going on, come back and report it to me." So she comes back, and she finds out that during the first rain of the rainy season, Barad Makla Oso, there's going to be a very harsh rain that's going to destroy the crops. Now when the chassid hears this, he goes back, and instead of planting as everyone did before the first rain, first rainy season, he waits until the second rains come down. And shall call Olam Kula. So the entire world suffers from this downpour, this heavy downpour, and all the zera is destroyed, but shalolo laka. So it's a good idea to sleep in a cemetery, right? He made a crash on the market. L'shon acheres, next year, it doesn't seem like he had a battle with his wife. He probably had a lot more shalom bias at this point. He's maybe a rich guy, I don't know. But he nevertheless goes back to find out again from these, hopefully from these two ruchos, what's going to happen. And the Gemara tells us the entire story again in repeat performance. But this time he finds out that in the year to come, it's the second rain that's going to turn into Barad. He goes and plants before the first rain comes down. The whole world, based on last year's prediction, they wait till the second rain, and once again he makes a crashing. Then his wife is very curious about what's going on. Like year in and year out, he's the special person, that the exception to the rule, and he's making a sachla kol advar malol. I think the moral of the story is in this next line. You don't have to tell everything to your wife. But he spills the beans and tells her everything. And then the Gemara is on to tell that the rest of the story is that his wife, she must have been a klafta, she gets into a fight with the mother of that young girl who had passed on. And in order to needle her, in order to insult her, the wife of the chassid, in this, you know, very intense confrontation, she says, "Come with me, and I want to show you where your daughter is buried and how she's buried." So I don't think it means literally, "Come with me to unearth her gravesite," but it means, "I know this, the truth." And when the chassid goes back the next year to sleep in the Beis HaKvaros, and again one of the ruchos invites the other ruchos, so her response is, "Hanicheni, let me go. Dvar shebeini leveinech kvar nishmu ben achayim." Apparently our discussions have reached the ears of the living. Alma says the Gemara, this is the punchline of the whole sugya, yadi. People, the dead are aware of what's going on amongst the living, because otherwise how would she possibly know that the living were, you know, how did she get the message that the living were overhearing their conversation? So the Gemara once again is going to reject it. Dilma inish achrini shachiv v'azil v'yomalahu. Maybe somebody died, joined them up in the world of spirits, and revealed what was going on down here on earth. The Gemara then tells a couple of interesting stories. Ze'iri had given over his money to a certain innkeeper, and when he went to collect his money, the innkeeper had already died. So he went to seek him out in the cemetery, Zuzi Heicho, where's my money? And he said, and he tells him exactly where to find it. Al Yadi, it seems like there is some sort of awareness. The Gemara again tries to say that maybe somebody came and told him. Then the Gemara tells the whole story about Avua de Shmuel. He was in charge of the Zuzim, the monies of the Yesomim. He was the custodian. And when he died, Avua de Shmuel, his son was not with him, and he wasn't able to reveal to his son exactly where he had hidden the monies of the Yesomim. And therefore, a rumor was spreading around, a nasty rumor about Shmuel, that he's eating up the monies of the Yesomim. So Shmuel tries to seek out his father in the Beis HaKvaros to try to get his father to, you know, to communicate where the money is stashed away. Very fascinating. He comes and he says, "I need my father." There's a whole group of spirits that are sitting together in a circle, apparently, outside of the graves. Where's "I need my father, Abba." So they said, "Abba Tuvika." You know, there are many people by the same name, Abba. Well, his name, my father's name, is Abba Bar Abba. They said there are many people by the name of Abba Bar Abba. "No, I need Abba Bar Abba, who's the father of Shmuel." Ah, they finally chaffed. And where is he? So they tell him that, they tell Shmuel that your father is up in the Masifta Derekia. You know, he's hearing the great Shiurim on high. And in the meantime, Shmuel sees Levi amongst the dead, and he's sitting outside of this circle of Mason, and he asks Levi, "Why aren't you up in the Masifta Derekia together with my father?" And Levi tells Shmuel, "Because for many years I didn't attend the Shiurim of Rabbi Ephes, and as a result Rabbi Ephes had Chalisha Sadas." So you see very carefully that if you don't show up for a Shiur, you're causing a great deal of pain to your Rebbe, and as a result, you might have to stay outside of the Masifta the Rakia. In the meantime, Avud the Shmuel finally shows up, and he's crying and he's laughing. So Shmuel asks him, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Because I know that in not too long of a time you're going to join me here. Why are you laughing?" He says, "Because I see how respected you are in the world below." Notice he was aware of what was going on earth. And that gives me a great deal of joy. So right away, Shmuel turns to his father and he says, "If I have some significance, some chashivus, then let Levi and my schus go up to the Masifta the Rakia." So immediately, Levi goes up to the Masifta the Rakia because of Shmuel. Then Shmuel turns to his father and he says, "Where did you hide the Zuzim of the Yasme?" And he tells him that if you take a look above the Rechayim, the windmill, you'll see that there are three levels of monies hidden behind this Rechayim, and you'll see that I put it in the middle. Why didn't I put it on top? Because if the Gazlanim come, they'll take it from the top. Why didn't I put it on the bottom? Because it's closer to the earth and it could get ruined. So the Gemara says, Alma Yadi. We see that Avud the Shmuel was aware of the fact that his son, Shmuel, was considered Choshev amongst the Chayim. And the Gemara answers, Dilma Shiny Shmuel, maybe Shmuel's different, came into Chashiva Kodmi Umachrzi. Since Shmuel was about to die, they already notify the people in the Beis HaKvaris that Shmuel's about to come. He got a whole drum roll. So that proves that he's very chashuv. Penu makom, they declared. In any event, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yonasan changed his mind, and originally, if you remember, he was telling Rabbi Chia that who cares if I wear my tzitzis out in the cemetery? Anyway, the deceased are not aware of it, and he changed his mind. How do we know he changed his mind? This is on the very bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, the Omer of Shmuel, it says, Omer of Yonasan, Minayim Lemesim, Shemisaprim Zem Zem. How do I know that the deceased talk to each other, they communicate with each other? And he quotes a proof for that. And then if you turn to Daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph, which you'll see on the bottom of page 1, the Isal Kedaitach, the Loyadi, if the Mesim are unaware of what's going on amongst the dead, Ki Omaluhu Mai Havi. How do we understand Rabbi Yonasan's interpretation of the Pasuk? And the Gemara goes on to say, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm just fast forwarding to get to the punchline here, called Mesaper Achrei Ames. Anyone who speaks pejoratively about the dead, Ki'ilu Mesaper Achrei Evan. He's talking about a stone. Ika Diamri, some interpreted Rav Yitzchak to mean Delo Yadi, just like a stone doesn't know what you're saying to him, unless in Parshas Chukas, right? So too, a dead person doesn't know what's being said. Ika Diamri, others say Yadi, that maybe he does know what's going on, but Lo Ichpas Lehu, he couldn't care less. Amy, is that really true that the deceased are not aware of what's going on and what people are saying about them and they don't care about them? Va'amar apapa chadishtoi milsa basrei demar Shmuel. Somebody spoke very negatively about Shmuel after Shmuel passed away. Unafal kanya mitaltala ubazi liarnika deboch. He died. Something fell on his head and he died. So you see very clearly that you are hurting the dead when you speak negatively about them. The Gemara says, "Shiny tzurmi rabbanon the kudsha brichu de tava biyikar." You have no proof from Rabbi Yitzchak and the story of Rav Papa, because it could very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about a punishment against someone who insulted a Tzur Mirabbanan, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toveya the Kavod of a Talmud Chacham, and he punishes this person. It has nothing to do with Bein Adam L'Chavero because Shmuel was insulted. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kolam esaper achar mitosan shal talmidei chachamim is no fail beganim. Anyone who speaks negatively about a Talmud Chacham is going to be damned for the in the world to come to the wrong place, to Gehenna. So Rabosai, just to summarize this, it's very unclear, it's very obfuscated or ambiguous as to what the final conclusion of the Gemara is. Do the Mesim really have an awareness of what's being said about them? True, you're not allowed to say negative things about a Talmud Chacham, but that might be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Tovea, the covenant of Torah, the covenant of the Talmud Chacham. And here I want to show you a very important Mardechai. Again, there are a couple of Gemaras in Shabbos, which we'll see on page 2 if we have time for. But what I definitely have to show you is the Mardechai. That's on the top of your page 3. The Gemara that we're skipping, just to keep it in mind as we go through the Mardechai, vacillates back and forth about the principle, which is Rabbi Avo's principle, Ha'omer b'fnei ames, kol she'omer b'fnei ames yodea. Anything that's said in the presence of the dead, he is aware of. And that seems to be an outright explicit statement that would answer up all our issues that we had in Masech de Brachas, but the Gemara says that maybe that's only in a short period of time between the death of the person and the kvura of the person. Or perhaps between the death of the person and the decomposition of the body. So there definitely is a period of time, according to the Sugyan Shabbos, when the mess is aware of what's being said. However, that doesn't necessarily give us license to assume that that as you know, as a general rule, the mess is aware. It seems like it's only within a limited period of time. The Gemara in Shabbos actually quotes a statement of Rav that Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat before his death that make sure that the hesped they say after I die will be so profound that it'll awaken the people to crying and so forth. So that, in other words, make sure that they'll be aware of the loss, the tremendous loss of myself, of Rav. And Rashi says, "The eshma ech mischamim," and I'll hear about the terrible grief and mourning of the people during the hesped. Once again, it seems that at least at a point in which the body is there, there is an awareness of what's being said. I was once at a hesped, and I was boggled that people were schmoozing and joking around during the hesped, right in front of the dead. You know, here they don't bury you in a casket, you know. In any event, we know that with regard to a live person, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, certainly not Motzi Shem Ra. What about with regard to a mess? So even though there's no clear-cut answer from the Gemaras, we have the Mardechai. The Mardechai says the following. The case was that somebody in his anger, he said to a friend of his, or an enemy of his, I don't know what, that he's a mamzer ben mamzer. That's not a nice thing to say to someone, correct? However, the question is, how do we judge this person? Should we judge him because he insulted a person by calling him a mamzer? Or should we go even beyond that? Since he said he's the son of a mamzer, he's being macharef, he's being mavazer, the father of this person. And even though the father of the person was dead already, maybe there's a problem here when you say such insulting words about the dead. Says the Mardechai, Hamacharef, the one who said these terrible words and humiliations and slander. Yochush liatzmo, he better grab himself by the hands. V'yisagef atzmo, and he should physically torment himself, subject himself to sigufim, to punishments, betainios, and fast days, ubemalkios. V'gam mamon yita, and he should give tztaka. V'yiskaper, go in hope. Ula yeshlo tikva, maybe he has hope that God will atone, will forgive him for his great sin. Ki ma'od yesh avon gadol v'onesh l'shloch yad b'kdoshim asher ba'aretz. Now, kdoshim asher ba'aretz means what we call shofnei ofer, those who are buried under the ground. And then he quotes Rabbi Avi Ha'ezri, one of the great Rishonim, Nagu avoseinu v'amru. This is the line that I want you to pay most attention to. It's about 8 lines down from the top of page 3, and it's underlined for you. Says the Avi Ha'ezri, Nagu avoseinu v'amru, Shahoisa takonas kadmonenu. There was an established takona by those who came before us. So if you're going before the Rishonim, you're going back to the period of the Gaonim. V'cherem, and a whammy, shalola hotzi laz v'shem ral amesim, shem shofnei ofar. Those who are buried, if you are motzi laz, motzi shemra, then there's a takana and a cherem. And you and I know that a cherem is very, very severe. I mean, the reason why, not that I contemplated it, but the reason why you're not allowed to take a second wife is because of cherem, the Rabbeinu Gersha. And there are many charamim that really almost control, to some extent, religious Jewish life and communal life. A cherem is a very powerful tool. And what we're seeing here is that there's definitely a cherem. We want to see if this cherem is brought down lahaloth and Shulchan Aruch, but at least as far as the Mordechai and the Avi Ha'ezri are concerned, there was a cherem, a takonis hakadmonim, to prohibit speaking lashon, let's say hotzi laz, he says, what we call motzi shemra, motzi laz, ala mesim, shehem shofnei ofar. The Mordechai goes ahead and he quotes a source for this cherem in the Medrash in Parshas Vaschanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu when Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven came forward and they asked for a portion on the western side of the Jordan, and he accused them. He says, "Hine kamtem tachas avoseichem tarbus anoshim michatoyim." You know, you're repeating the sins of your fathers who accepted the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. And according to the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe because Moshe was Motzi Shemra on the fathers of the generation of those who entered into the land. Again, the question is, did Moshe have a justification in saying so? How many of the previous generation had violated this Isur, this chait of Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? Was he just carte blanche, you know, putting them all in one category? But the point is that we're not allowed to talk negatively about the dead. Now, on your page 3, you'll take a look at the third source, which is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Yom HaKippur Simon Tafresh Vav. First, he says that if you hurt someone, you insulted someone, and that person is dead, how do you ask him for mechila? And he has a whole ceremony where you take 10 people onto his gravesite and you ask for mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's more important to us, if you could fast forward to Siv Gimel, says the Mechaber, Takonas Kadmonenu V'cherem. There's an established Takon and a Cherem Shalola Hotzi Shemra Ala Mason. This is a codification of the Mordechai. Now, before we see the Mishnah Berurah, I just want to make my own observation here. Notice that the Mechaber doesn't say that Asur Lahotzi Laz or Shemra Ala Mesim, because we're not even sure if the Mesim are aware of what's going on and what's being said about them here in this world. The Gemara doesn't really come to any definite conclusion. So any halachic ruling that is going to be codified has to be based on the Mardechai, etc., on this Takonis HaKadmonim, because in the absence of this Takonim, the Cherem, or the Kadmonim, I don't know Mitzad HaShas what the final Psak is. But again, that's not going to help me and you, because Lamaisa, the Takana, was instituted and established at the time of the Kadmonim with an attached Cherem. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, Lachain Tzarech Lasos Tshuva Al Sha'avar Al Cherem. If anyone violates this Cherem and says such terrible things about the deceased, he's got to do Tshuva. And if you recall, the tshuva that the Mardechai had formulated or advocated was very complicated. It had three different parts to it. You know, first of all, sigufim with fasts, and secondly, malkios, and thirdly, paying who knows what kind of expensive sums of money. All this in order to achieve a kapara that might possibly, hopefully, save him from the cherem because he violated it. Now, all these different kinds of processes of tshuva, or components of tshuva, are codified by the Ramah, not in Shulchan Aruch or Achayim, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, but to our surprise, in Hilchos Dinei Mamonos and Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchos Chovel B'Chaviro, because that's where the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah codify the halachas of someone who injures someone and how he does tshuva for that and so forth. And he says, Hamedaber Ra al Shochnei Afar, someone who speaks negatively about those who are buried. Tzarech lekabel olav tainios utshuva v'onish mamon kifi ra'os bezdin. He speaks about Tanios. He doesn't mention Malchus, I don't know why. And then he goes on to say that he has to, you know, he has to ask Mechila from, you know, take 10 people to the Kever or whatever it is in order to get Mechila. So let's just summarize what we're saying over here. The Mardechai quotes a Takonis HaKadmonim with a Cherem and a whole process of tshuva for someone who's motzi laz and shemra alames. This is codified by the Mechaber, and the darkei tshuva for such a person who violated that cherem and that takana is codified by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Chafetz Chaim, of course, wrote a sefer called Shmiras HaLashon on the laws of Lashon Hara. And he writes in Klal Ches, Da'o, Da'fil Levazos Ulecharifes HaMeisim. Now please notice or emphasize, and this is going to come up explicitly in the next paragraph, that the Chafetz Chaim is not limiting this violation to Talmidei Chachamim, you know, to insulting Talmidei Chachamim. You know, we've already seen that Almighty God will demand retribution for someone who insults, you know, another person who personifies Torah, even if that person is dead. But here the Chafetz Chaim is talking about Mason. He doesn't specify. And he goes on to say, Kol Zafilu Mamesa Ma'aretz. He spells it out. The Kol Shkenim Utamun Chacham Bevadei Mevazel Say Ovan Plivi V'chayiv Nidu Yelseh. How much more so if somebody insults a Talmud Chacham? Again, the Talmud Chacham is gone, he's dead, and he's chayv nidui for doing such a thing. And you know, the Chafetz Chaim added his sources in a commentary to his own text in the Berma Chaim, and he writes, V'hu mi divrei ha-Mordechai. And then he writes, Umash nimtza lefamim bedivrei hagaonim bedorish lefanenu sheechad makatreg lechavero hanirak bevichuchim shal yivneim bedivrei torah v'kanasim ha'yisrael shem shemayim. In other words, even though we do find that Chachamim will say some very harsh words about those who came before them in earlier generations, he says that's not l'shem bizayon, they're not trying to humiliate them or undermine their significance. On the contrary, they're trying to argue with them in Torah and in Halacha. Similar to cases where a son will disagree with his father, which he's not allowed to do in general because of Mora, Ein Lahakrish Zovev, but for the sake of Torah, he's allowed to do it. And this leads me to a very interesting insight of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't know if you happen to have page 5, but the Emes LeYaakov, which is on the left column of page 5, he was asked by a Talmud, how is it that the Torah records stories about the greats, and they seem to be pejorative? I mean, they are pejorative. Why isn't that Lashon Hara? For example, the Torah tells us about the brothers of Yosef, that they harbored enmity against Yosef, and then they wanted to kill him, and they sold him as a slave. So this Talmud naively asked his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, why isn't that Lashon Hara? I would have given any number of answers, but Rav Yaakov came up with what I think is a curveball. That's a surprise answer. I never would have anticipated this answer. And he writes that Ein ze begeder lashon hara, the bemis lashon hara eino ella al hachaim. Lashon hara only applies to someone who's alive. The Torah is recording events long after the death of those individuals. But you'll ask me, the al hamesim, even with regard to mesim, we have the takonas hakadmonim. He says mutar mitzad adin. Eino el acherem akadmonim. Okay, fine, but it's still acherem. He writes acherem eino ella al motzi shemra v'lo al lashon hara. As we said at the outset, there are two parshiyos in the Torah about speaking negatively. One is when you say pejorative things about a person, that's in parshiyos Kedoshim lo selech rachel ba'mecha, and then we have something called slander, which is in parshiyos Ki Tetzeh. And that's Motzi Shemra. Says Rav Yaakov, if you read carefully, you know, the fine print of the contract, you know, for this you usually pay a lawyer, right? But read the fine print of the Mordechai and the codes in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that it says nothing about Lashon Hara. There was never a Takanas HaKadmonim that enjoined us from speaking negatively about the dead. The entire Takanas Hagonim and the Cherem is limited to Motzi Shemra, to when you fabricate a story that's not true and it's pure slander. Says Rav Yaakov, to speak about the brothers of Yosef and describe them as the events happened in all truth, that could not possibly be Motzi Shemra. It could only possibly, in the worst case scenario, be Lashon Hara. The Takanas HaGaonim was never made with regard to Lashon Hara. Now, what I want to do with you during the next few minutes that we have, the remaining few minutes, is to analyze whether this position of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has been accepted by the, shall we say, the contemporary poskim. So first, what I'd like you to do is turn to page 4. You know, there's an organization which is very heavily based in Toronto, I think, called Dirshu, am I right? And they published a new edition of the Chafetz Chaim. It's called Maduras Dirshu. And what's great about it is it's footnotes. But that's also what's terrible about it, because there's very little text. It's 90% footnotes. You can literally drive yourself crazy. So Anyone who wants to get a feeling that he can cover the entire Chafetz Chaim from cover to cover, I would discourage him from using this one, because unless he's going to cut out all the footnotes, he's going to spend the rest of his life learning the Chafetz Chaim, which might not be a bad idea, but, you know, he may have other, you know, projects on his agenda. In any event, if you take a look on the right column, you might find a footnote number 28, which is approximately, I would say, 15 lines down from the top on the right column. And he speaks about the Takonas Cherem HaKadmonim Shelo Lahotzi Laz V'Shemra Ala Mesim, which is something that we saw in the Chafetz Chaim, and earlier we saw it in the Shulchan Aruch, and earlier in the Mordechai. And he goes on to write that the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim tells us about how to do tshuva if somebody violates the cherem. And that's in addition to Bakoshas Mechila from the dead. He needs tshuva for violating the cherem. Oh. Then he writes the following. Ulesaper Lashon Hara Al Meisim. What about speaking Lashon Hara on the Meisim? Klomar. Dovish al gnushu emes, velo hotzi shemra bisheker, das hagrach kinevsky, shegam ze osur. Reb Chaim Kinevsky, Shlita, is of the opinion, again, I don't think he was aware of what Rav Yaakov wrote about this, that it is prohibited. And he derives it from an interesting sugya and erechin that has to do with, you know, the awareness of inanimate objects, of what's being said about them, and how we have to, even with regard to inanimate objects, have to treat them with sensitivity, etc., etc., and how much more so with regard to a human being who died. And he goes on to say that Ella Hatakona Vacher Mahisagak Alotza Shemra La Mason. He wants to suggest that there are two different categories of prohibitions. One is the Takona with a Cherem. That's a very, very severe violation. And that entails, if you violated all the process and complicated demands of Tshuva, as we saw before. But then there's an additional Isur, and that Isur extends to include Lashon Hara Shel Emes Ala Mesim. However, it's not as severe and it's not high decibel, meaning it's not a violation of a Cherem and a Takonas HaGaon. Then he writes, V'chein Kasev Bishut Oz Nidberu. This is Rabbi Yamin Zilber. He was my Mashgiach when I learned the Beis HaTalmud with a lot of the Torontonians that are still, I think some of them at least, are still in Toronto. I got to reconnect with them during my 2 years in Toronto. One of them is a cousin of David Spiegel, and many others. One of them is a brother of Irwin. And we had a mashgiach in Beis HaTalmud by the name of Rabbi Yamin Zilber. That's the author of Oz Nidru, Rabbi Yamin Atzadik. And in this case, he's a machmir, and he says you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about the Mason. I had a case where he was a Gevaldig of Mekil. We asked him if you're allowed to look into a mirror if you have something caught in your eye, because it says in Shulchan Aruch a man shouldn't look in a mirror. So he gave us a Gevaldig of Kula. He said we should take a brown bag and cut out two holes, put the bag over our, and we could see ourselves, the eye in the mirror, because we have the bag over our heads. That was a Gevaldig of Kula. Okay. Anyway, so we have now a couple of poskim here. Those who learned with me in Beis HaTalmud might remember that Gevaldig of Kula made tremendous ripples in the yeshiva. But we have now Reb Chaim Kanevsky and Reb Yamin Zilber. That's the Bnei Brak Chevra, and they all assume that there's an Isur Lashon Hara with regard to the Mason. But then in the next paragraph, they tell a story which I thought was very fascinating. We're not sure about who this story is being told. It's either Reb Chaim Ozer or maybe about the brisket rav. There are different versions of the story. And it turned out that at the funeral of Ploni, of some individual, before he was interred, this gadol, again, I don't know who it was, Rav Chaim Ozer or whatever, said to some of the people around him, or one of the persons around him, you know what? Now we can speak Lashon Hara about him. Let's chaperayim. Why? Because in a few minutes they're going to bury him. And once they bury him, the Takanas HaGaonim is going to go into effect. Because the Takanas HaGaonim only applies to Shochnei Afar after he's buried. So now's a good time to talk about him. So they all asked the question, well, wait a minute, according to the Grach Kanevsky and according to Rabbi Yoman Tzadik, there is no heter to talk Lashon Hara about the Mesim, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Takanas HaGaonim. So even if the mess, and I would say even more so, if the mess hasn't been buried yet, the Iser of Lashon Hara should apply. So how did he say, let's chop Orion, and now we can talk about Lashon Hara before the Takanas HaGaonim goes into effect after they bury him? So the answer is, Shom, which you'll see in the next paragraph, Yalla Maisa, he writes in about the 10th line, that they asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky about this story, and Reb Chaim said that the story took place Shom Hayom Meduba B'Adam Rasha, that the person who had died was a very evil person. Shegam B'Odo Chaim Hayom Mutal L'Daber Olav Lashon Hara. But Rak Mitzad Acherim Aser. So imagine, Rabosai, what's going on here, according to Reb Chaim Kanevsky, unbelievable chiddush, is that the Takanas HaGaonim went way beyond the Iser of Lashon Hara. The Iser of Lashon Hara doesn't apply to a Rasha, and yet the Takanas HaGaonim applies to everyone. You can't talk bad about anyone. You can't be Motzi Lots. So if, let's say, you had someone who's a Rasha, and you asked, would there be an Iser in speaking Lashon Hara about this Rasha before he's buried, then Imanav Shach is Mutter. Because B'Toras Lashon Hara, there's no Iser Lashon Hara because he's a Rasha. And B'Toras, the Takanas HaGaonim, that hasn't gone into effect yet before he's buried. So we got to chop a rhyme and talk about him before he's buried. I would go ahead and say something even more than that. That even after he's buried, you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him. But you just can't be Motzi Shema. You know, you can't say lies about him. You can speak Lashon Hara about him. So Rav said, before I let you go, let me just summarize what we learned today. We got to sink our teeth into an issue that belongs to Hilchas Lashon Hara, that belongs to Motzi Shema, that certainly belongs to the Parshios that we've been reading lately. And based on the Mordechai and the Shulchan Aruch, we saw that there's a cherem again, speaking against the dead. We saw that cherem is very harsh and very all-inclusive, and it applies even to an Am Haaretz and possibly even to a Rasha, whereas the Lashon Hara Iser would not apply. There is Lashon Hara according to many opinions, and it's not just the opinions of Rav Chaim Kanevsky and Rabbi Yomim Zilber. There are others who also agree with that perspective. Rav Asher Weiss, for example, also seems to indicate that there's Lashon Hara against an Iser Lashon Hara against the Mason. If a person calls another person Ben so-and-so, you know, son of a Kelev, okay, or Ben Chamar, you know, son of a something that starts with an A, I won't go into it. So the Kaf HaChayim is famous for saying that although that's not called Hotzi Laz Alames, because it's quite clear that his father is not a Chamar or a Kelev, then we have to assume that his intention was really to embarrass and humiliate the live person, meaning the son. He just called him a Ben so-and-so. And there are a number of issues here, a whole list, if you get a chance to go through the pages here, about things that are said after the death of a Talmud Chacham that are not allowed to be said. And we won't get into that right now, but if you have a chance to go through some of these sources on your own. All right, any questions before we go? And now I go to say my kol chabur now. Okay, thank you very much.